The website encyclopedia Wikipedia is one of the most popular sites on the internet, but it has many critics because of its system of allowing volunteer writers and editors to work on the system, including high school students. In the second part of our interview with cultural critic Lee Siegel, the Brooklyn-based writer expounds on this and other trends on the internet that he's not a fan of in his new book, Against the Machine, Being Human in the Age of the Electronic Mob. Siegel has written for a number of publications and received the National Magazine Award for Reviews and Criticism back in 2002. He spoke with WMNF last Thursday about Wikipedia.
Now, 15 years ago, if you told people that there was an encyclopedia in which anyone could revise, edit, delete the entries, could shape the entries in this encyclopedia any way they can, they would have laughed at you. Or they would have said, "Is this a science fiction movie that you saw at the Museum of Modern Art, something like that?" It's beyond me how you can have, in the name of democracy and access and transparency, you can have people slandering other people, libeling other people, which has happened, or on the most simple level, just getting the facts of something wrong. On any given day, at any minute, you can go to an entry on Wikipedia and find the misrepresentation of a fact. And I think it's just shameful that this thing is allowed to exist.
We're speaking with Lee Siegel, who's the author of the new book, Against the Machine, Being Human in the Age of the Electronic Mob, talking about the internet and the dangerous effects of it in some cases. Lee Siegel, at the end of the book, you actually have your five open super secrets about the internet, including things like not everyone has something meaningful or original to say, and that very few people know how to write. Also, you write, people have now come to expect inner life to be performed rather than disclosed. Are some of these things that were already maybe happening in the culture now, but it just is so much easier for people to obviously self-express, as it were, on this thing that we call the internet?
Absolutely. The internet is a crystallization of tendencies in the culture that have been around for 100 years. My book is not an attack on the technology of the internet. I celebrate its marvels and its blessing of the right kind of information and the right kind of connectivity and so forth. But what the internet does, as you said, is amplify some of the worst trends in the culture, which is this narcissism, this expressing of oneself rather than an expressing of one's ideas or one's interests or one's vision of life. Self-expression isn't art. Self-expression is the packaging and the retail of someone's inner experience. Everyone's putting themselves on the market. They're acting out in front of cameras. They're bloggers, turning their opinions into commodities on the marketplace. Nobody seems to be doing anything for the simple sheer enjoyment of it. Nobody seems to do anything disinterestedly. Everyone's pursuing their self-interest on this new medium.
In your book, you write about two other books that were published just coincidentally back in the year 2000, David Brooks's Bobos in Paradise and Malcolm Gladwell's The Tipping Point. What are you getting at in looking at those different books?
Well, Brooks, in his book, made what I call a transvaluation. He converted business values into creative, humane values. And for Brooks, American business has now become playful and bohemian. What are his proofs of this? Well, that some people come into the office with, quote, tousled hair, unquote. Some people wear sandals. And this was this is Brooks's way, really, of turning all our of justifying the pursuit of self-interest in every realm of life. And on his part, Gladwell, in his book, The Tipping Point, celebrates universalizes marketing techniques. Gladwell turns human relations into pitches from one person to another. He makes everybody your audience. And I think what these two books did was, to use the term again, universalize a business experience, to push us all into the marketplace, to make all of our leisure moments part of work, and to justify any activity in strictly entrepreneurial terms.
Lee Siegel, your book is one of the very few books that have come out ripping on parts of the internet culture. Now, I was curious if you had read a book by the name of Andrew Keen last year called The Cult of the Amateur.
Yes, I looked into that.
Yeah. Now, of course, he's got totally different arguments in many ways. So, but his whole, of course, thesis was that the subtitle was how today's internet is killing our culture and how it is diminishing our culture and hurting bookstores and record stores and film and the like by its accessibility. Do you have any thoughts about what he was getting at?
Well, I'm saying really the opposite. You know, his book is a hand-wringing over the fate of commercial interests. He wants to defend the movie studios and the big publishing companies and the TV networks from this internet onslaught. And I could care less about the commercial interests of powerful commercial institutions. Also, Keane, his book is called The Cult of the Amateur, and he wants to say that culture is being overwhelmed by the amateur, and I think the exact opposite is happening. I think everyone's amateurish impulses are immediately being professionalized. You know, an amateur is from the Latin word amare, to love. If you're an amateur, you do something out of love. That is the great engine driving the American popular culture, which is one of the great glories of American civilization. But a professional does everything for money. A professional calculates what he does in order to appeal to his audience. And that's what things like YouTube and the blogosphere are encouraging people to do, not to operate out of love, but rather to express themselves in order to get acclaim, money, and so forth.